Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review an ultra-premium Zinfandel from Scott's favorite place in California, Lodi. But this time it's from Turley, and it's their Stacy Ranch Zinfandel. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Turley, Turley, Turley.
Scott is emotional because we are drinking Turley tonight. We are drinking it also out of Riedel New World Syrah glasses. That's a bigger volume because this is a proper Zin, unlike Hain, which I put in the small glasses. I'd just like to point that out, Scott.
You're such a dick.
No. Scott, we had to delay one night because Scott had the rumblies in his tumbly last night because he was hungover.
It really wasn't hungover. It was like...
You were hungover.
It was like body rejecting...
That's a hangover.
No, it was rejecting the food input. What I didn't tell you about was...
I don't know.
On the way home from...
Did somebody roofie you, Scott?
Long day. It felt like I got roofied. I don't know what being roofied feels like.
You don't know who did it, though.
I did it to myself.
Oh, you did it. I've done that to myself, too. Remember when I roofied myself? No one took advantage of me. It was unfortunate.
Well, yeah. Can't take advantage of the willing.
No.
Let's put it this way.
Or me, because I'm disgusting.
It was a long day, having a good time, good food, mm-hmm. and then someone, me... Thought it was a good idea to go through a drive-thru and spend $18 on White Castle.
What? What did you do?
That's what I was saying all day Sunday. I was like, what did you do? This was after inhaling ribs during the football game. At the soccer game, of course, it was Buck a Brat night, and somehow Hot Carl came back with 20 brats.
And the brats were disgusting. I had one.
They were slightly undercooked. That may have been the source of my insane heartburn.
It
could have been the $18 of White Castle, which I didn't eat.
I had a bite, and I went, this is nasty, and I threw it down. Henry then later goes, hey, Dad, did you have any of those brats? They were nasty. They were gross.
They were... Those pre-cooked brats, I don't know who makes them.
No, they were boiled, but they weren't cooked.
They weren't crisped up and grilled.
Yes, they were under... It's disgusting. Crew, shame on you. But that's okay.
Well, still was a buck a brat.
That's true. You did. You were at the Vader texting us as if we could bring all the kids to the Vader. I don't know what... you were obviously drunk. You might have been drunk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, let me just hop on down there. That being said, on tonight's show, we have a wine from Turley, because this is the week we get our Turley. Scott gets it next week because he's inferior to me.
I didn't pick October week. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, you don't want it.
It doesn't seem like it's the right time. Oh, I want it, but see, here's the difference between you and I, sir. I will put mine away and hold on to it.
I do as well. I buy things like this because they are a little more newer drinking, somewhat. This is the 20 vintage, but... And I hold on to other things for quite some time. But...
Did you say what it is, sir?
It is Stacy Ranch Zinfandel from Lodi. Stacy Ranch is a single vineyard in Lodi, owned by Turley, mind you. I think Mettler Family Vineyards also has a little bit of plot in Stacy Ranch.
Okay.
It was planted in 1907, so it's very, very old. And... It's interdispersed with Grenache, Carignan, and Mission vines. So there's some older style reds in there as well. I wouldn't call it a field blend because those are fairly minute, but they don't have percentage on this, but it's predominantly Zinfandel.
Yeah, and I would call it a field blend because the vines in that vineyard, they're interspersed with the different varietals.
Okay. But it just is what it is.
It is what it is.
This comes in around $32, our price, I think, for if you found it retail, it'd be high 30s. maybe $40. It's one of their newer entries, although they've had this vineyard for quite some time. I think 17 was the earlier ones when we started seeing it in our allocations.
Yeah, and I think probably smaller lots too, smaller production possibly.
I've always bought it because I like it. It's one of these that every year, it's something that's a little bit different than the juvenile and the old vine, just a little bit different, a little more expensive, but about the same price, high 20s, low 30s. And it's not quite as over the top as the Amador stuff. It's this happy medium. And since it's from Lodi, it pisses Scott off that it exists because he hates Lodi and people that live near Sacramento, apparently. So,
oh, it's just...
I mean, he does. He does
for
he,
wine production,
mm-hmm.
It's not the best area. But Turley always knocks it out of the park.
There are good areas of Lodi. They are just small. You know, your single vineyard stuff, they're like, you're talking about like 20-acre vineyards. You know, a lot of it, though, Lodi gets lumped in with the Delta. So as you go closer to the river down through there, it's not, I mean, it's Lodi adjacent. It's more Delta wines, Helzberg and stuff like that. And so people kind of loosely, you know, stretch Lodi as a term.
I think there's some higher price points. Let's see, 40. I see 47.
For what, this?
52. But also, there's...
For this?
People supplying it at the Turley allocation price, too.
So. Yeah, I think 52 would be a steep ask.
Oh, good.
Even though it is a single vineyard, it is, even though I was defending Lodi earlier, it is Lodi. It's not Napa. It's not... You know, it's not from the better parts of Paso, you know. But it still is a good wine. So.
Yeah. Astor Wine and Spirits, $55 mm-hmm. of the 21, the current vintage. So.
Mm-hmm. I have that too. I have the 19, and I think I have the 18. I have multiple vintages of it, and I just drink it slowly here and there. It's one of these bottles where if I open a Turley, I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be a nice choice. On Friday night, I had a 2016 or 15, which was 16, Uberuth. And I will tell you this. After a glass and a half of the Uberuth, I was in Becky's office chair just spinning, just for fun.
Whee!
Oh, yeah. It was I was on a...
You're like the little talking pig on the Geico commercial spinning the pinwheel.
Magic carpet ride, baby. That's where I was.
I like to drink. Yeah, Uber Roots on Friday nights.
Oh, yeah. It's just like you're... Ooh. And it was kind of one of those things where slightly psychedelic. And you're like, oh, yeah. Hadn't eaten yet. Becky had two glasses. She passed out on the couch. It's fine. No, you were passed out. We both passed out on the couch.
Well, it's a long week.
Yeah, but the Uberuth, you know, just kind of was like, you know, you're going to be fucked up tonight.
Uberuth and Hain, they're just Uberuth, nice. And
vastly superior to Hain.
Oh, Lord.
It is. Spicenti's superior to Hain. Dragon and Rattlesnake are superior.
Sure.
Bogle Old Vine Zin is, no. Hain's a very good wine. Solid wine.
Fantastic.
We haven't had Monterosso, which I'm sure is going to be better than that. I mean, there's a myriad of them. The ones I would not say are like Sadie Upton. I don't think we like that one very much.
It was fine. It was just a little lean. But again, yeah. It was an early offering, you know. Mm-hmm. It's to see how it...
Dogtown, Highway 101. There's so many different ones.
Dogtown's done, right? I don't think they're going to make Dogtown anymore.
The one I really love that they're not going to make anymore is Mead Ranch.
Yeah.
We both like Mead Ranch. I love Mead Ranch Zin from anybody, really. Franus makes a good one, too. I wish Ridge did one, but they don't. Oh, they probably do, actually. It's just winery
only. We can't get our hands on it.
Well, I can. What? You can buy anything from Ridge through the website anytime you want. It's pretty cool. You just got to pay a little shipping. Not too much, but you can't buy them anyplace else, so it's all right.
But do they have a Mead Ranch offering there, Ridge?
Well, take a look. So, we are going to take a break, and then we'll come back with the Stisi Ranch from Turley here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 2020 Turley CC Ranch Lodi Zinfandel. As we said, Zinfandel, there might be a little bit of this and that in there, since Carignan, Grenache, and some other smaller varietals within this. A field blend of sorts. I never like to admit to Scott it's a field blend because he always wets his pants.
Oh, Lord.
Did he? I do that, too.
You talk about something once and...
What, wetting my pants? I talk about that all the time. It's embarrassing.
No, you do it all the time. You don't talk about it.
I know. I get up and I didn't even know I did it. I'm like, what's this puddle? That's me? Oh, shit. I remember I was at a concert years ago, and there was this dude sitting on a bench, right? And he was like 20, 21, whatever. He gets up from the bench and he wet himself, and there was a puddle of pee-pee on it. I was like, what the fuck is your problem? It wasn't even like he was drinking. He just peed his pants as he's sitting there. It was before the concert. Nothing was even going on.
Maybe he has a medical condition.
Yeah, I guess. He's a pisser.
Maybe.
Yeah, I didn't see him come back either. Well, it's awesome.
Doesn't look like Ridge offers a Mead Ranch offering.
Well, that's a shame.
You think they might. You think they might could.
They should. It would be fantastic. They don't do a lot in Napa, though, now that I think about it. That's okay.
I don't think they outsource from anybody. It's only their vineyards that they produce from.
No, they have lots, but like Pagani, there's other places that do Pagani. So they just have lots within single vineyards.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So in the glass, this is quintessential Zinfandel the way it looks. A raspberry deep ruby red. Slightly translucent, but not bad at all. Very pretty wine.
Yeah, nice slow forming legs in the glass. This is what you expect from Turley. You expect it to be a beauty, and it is. It's not the deepest, darkest Turley's Infidel offering, but we wouldn't necessarily expect that from Lodi.
No, this is their least expensive single vineyard Zins.
Yeah.
It comes at 15.3% alcohol, too.
Bing, bing, bing.
Now, just a little bit before we let Scott drink. One thing about the Stichy Ranch, what you should be expecting are zesty yet silken, fine-textured Zinfandels. Moderate weight and some aromatics, a little floral elements, okay?
He's reading from the Turley.
No, I just know that off of hand. No, actually, I'm reading it off of LodiGrowers.com.
Let's hear what Turley says.
By the way, Scott said that Turley was all marketing. He said that out loud.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, our listeners know to trust what you say comes out of my mouth.
What'd you say comes out of your mouth?
What you say.
I have a towel for that. I just wipe it off a little bit.
Do you now?
Yes, I do. Never get your towel mixed up with somebody else's. That's a gross situation right there. Now, this wine, on the nose, a bit of strawberry.
Strawberry? And
plum. What is that aromatic? It's a leafy floral element. So it has a greenery to it, but almost like, heather. Kind of like a a fresh spring aromatic. Dated maybe a elements. Little bit of, maybe a little bit of lily, something like that.
I think Lily's friend was named Heather.
She was, yes.
Okay. So.
as Scott screws around. Deeper in the background is a little bit of blackjack licorice, but it's very, very faint. Most of it, though, is the strawberry element. And that, even then, is just, you know, has a little bit of cream to it. It's nice. It's a nice nose, slightly muted, though. And while Scott still reads something, then here, I'm just going to read it since I already have it. CC Ranch is one of the first vineyards planted on St. George rootstocks in Lodi, which has since become the gold standard for Zinfandel in California. Hailing from 1907, the Zinfandel vines in this sandy-soiled vineyard are interspersed with Grenache, Carignan, and Mission varietals, as well as all common bedfellows in this classic old California vineyard. The end. Now you don't have to look for it.
Ripe, pretty, racy, spicy. They're talking about me.
They're not.
This ranch is pure classic California Zin. The nose overflows with plum, blood orange, bergamot, red cherry.
And say what? Did you say bergamot? What?
Bergamot.
Bergamot. What's bergamot?
B-E-R-G-A-M-O-T.
You can spell it all day long. I don't know what that
spice.
Is.
Spice.
Okay.
A bit of earthy matcha for good measure. Matcha tea.
Who wrote this?
This is Turley. This is from the Turley website. Dense yet plush on the palate with a stunning richness and volume typical of this beloved vintage. Fresh to plush cherries and citrus, along with some savory herbal garlic, and a texture reminiscent of wines of the Rhone Valley.
Were they two cases in after they wrote that?
If you love the copious fruits and mouthfeel of the Napa State, as well as the piquant spices and refinement of the Dogtown, then the Stacy is most certainly right for you, Rob Dern.
My God.
Ready to drink now and best served at cellar temperature. The wine will also age well if you prefer to lay it down.
Is that a sexual reference?
15 months in the barrel, 80% used oak barriques, of which 80% is French, the rest American. I get the strawberries, the berry mix strawberry. There's like a little hint of sweetness, almost like what a strawberry jello would be, that hint towards a sweet strawberry. Subtle nose. They're quite nice.
This wine differs from some of the other Turley offerings. It's a very gelatinous fruit on the top of the on top of the palate. The front palate is gelatinous fruit. So you're like, oh, wow. Red currant is in there as well now with a little bit of muddled plum, a little raspberry. But what's nice, once that goes away, through the mid palate, which is maybe a touch hollow but not bad, it's framed by oak and then it's a very spicy finish.
And the texture, the tasting notes talked about, the textures reminiscent of wines from the Rhone. I think that's the Grenache, and I think there's more Grenache than they're letting on here.
That does, when you, it's oaked like a Rhone wine would be. So, it's drank in that context, you're like, yeah, I see. This is a lot like that Chateau Lanerf, high-end Grenache, super...
That's what I had Saturday during the game.
Oh, that's why you were all fucked up.
That's what I might have started with.
Oh, my God. That is a witch's brew right there, man. That's snake venom.
Well...
Jesus. You drank... What else did you drink? Nothing, right? Water? How did you drive, Hank? Or, I'm sorry.
It was much later... It was much later for the soccer.
Did you have a Subway that you got? Did you go to Subway? I mean, how the... Jesus.
No, it was White Castle.
Man, that's like... You might as well have roofied yourself if that's what you... That thing is... Man, that is a freaking brick house snake venom. My God. Why didn't you just hit yourself over the head with a ball peen hammer?
I might have.
Well, you wouldn't have felt it.
Well...
God. Did you yell Banzai before you did that? I mean, Jesus.
It was a football game.
A football game?
Yeah.
My, are you sure? You might have been watching the Gardening Channel. You would have known.
And then I knew what happened.
Are you sure? I've drank that before. all by myself. I know what happens when you drink that wine. I almost pulled that out tonight, and I went, no, I'm afraid of that wine. It's dangerous.
You pull out this instead. But texturally, this is not the biggest bodied wine, hence texture remnants of reminiscent of the wine from the Rhone Valley. And I think the
Garrigue.
Higher content of Grenache lends itself to that. It really does.
Yeah, and the elements of Garrigue are very, very present in the mid palate. It kind of like that oak is, it has that in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I've never really thought about it before, the old world style of this wine. It is noticeable.
It really is. And I wish they'd give us the percentage of Grenache in this. I think it's higher than we think.
Well, they do a Grenache, but it's out of Paso.
Yeah, it's not Pacenti. Lodi.
Mm-hmm. And this is better Grenache than the one.
I don't know. I think we'll see over time with that.
I don't
think
that
the first offering.
I think that one, there's not much to see over time.
We'll see.
It's a nice wine. It's fun to buy, and I would buy it again. But I think from their little smaller offshoots, the Cinsault is a better one. I love their Cinsault. That is a beautiful wine.
It's just super approachable.
That's Lodi.
It's super approachable. Light body.
It's
such
not
a
that.
Change of pace for them.
It reminds me of a nicer Beaujolais.
I was going to say the same thing. It's got hints of a Gamay.
Yeah. And it
just stylistically, yeah. Like a easy
it's
20 Gamay.
Bucks. 20 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I am setting my Grenache back.
Well, I mean, I've got three. I drank one.
Give him some time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not rushing it. This week or last week, I bought wine.com. They still have the screw up. I think they got it back in stock.
Strucker.
The, oh shit, what is it? Woodcutter. What the hell is that winery now? The Steeding by
Strucker, isn't it?
Stryker.
Strucker.
No. Strucker? Torbeck.
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 Most of the letters, right?
No, you got no letters right. Not one.
T-R-B-E-C-K. No. Yeah. That's most of them.
And the Torbeck, they're an Australian... Oh, they're out of it again. The Torbeck is an Australian producer, and they run the gamut from $20 to, well, run rig is $200, but it's not the most expensive. They have one that's like the suite or something like that, and it's $800, which, fuck you. But... like their run rig for $200, $99 from Parker, $99 from Decanter, James Gaddy, $98, and so forth and so on. They have one that's around $30 to $40 called the Steeding, and it's a GSM. Well, wine.com had it for $18.99. $95 from Parker, you know. So I bought three. And no one else has really been able to buy anything. But I've bought their Woodcutter before. That's their $20-ish dollar Shiraz. They have one called Cuvée Juveniles, which is a... more of a, it's a Rhone style blend for about $25. They're an interesting Australian producer. I think you all should try it if you haven't yet, because they do some different things, Rhone style stuff out of Australia, and that's always a good thing. You know, their Shirazes are still Shiraz, but they're a little bit better, and also their Semillon is good. So the classic things that Australia is good at, they're good at. Kind of nice.
You can get the Rhone rig for $200.
You can.
It's getting a 99 from Parker.
It's a good wine, you know?
Hmm?
You know, for Aussie.
And what's the one you got that's
the Steeding. They're out of stock.
Steeding.
No, it's the Steeding? Yeah. Normally, it's around $40 or $50, depending on where you find it. Their website has it for $40, I think.
I think the ship sailed on that.
Yeah, yeah. It's not screw top, so you know it costs more. The rest of the stuff is screw top.
Yeah.
This wine, though, is not screwed up either.
Just another wonderful offering from Turley. I think this could go sometime. I think you could put down.
Well, I have more than one bottle. I probably have two or three more.
4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I think that's normally a sweet spot for the lesser expensive Turleys. You get Newbruth, 10, 12 years. I mean, Hain. Hain is a drink now. It's a pop and pour.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
You're going to get cut off from your distribution list.
They can keep all the... We don't know yet about the Monterosso. We don't know about some of those. Although Monterosso is $70, but it's from the creme de la creme of Napa Zen production and cab, really. I mean, Monterosso is a legendary, legendary vineyard. We know the Pacientes do well with some age. We know Dragon does. We know anything from Howl Mountain does. You can... The Cedarman, which... People probably have always heard of them. It always gets you sky high reviews because it's around 30s, low 30s, and it's an absolute psychopathic beast. We've never done it on the show. I almost pulled out a Cedarman because I have it sprinkled out through multiple vintages, and I have a lot of it. So, good wine.
It's one of your favorites for the price point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not always going to pull out Dragon or one of those, but you can pull that one out. Although...
No.
The Cedarman really does as well with age as those two.
They're just a little more delicate.
It's just, yeah. Dragon's bigger, has a little more going on with it.
Dragon's more complex. It's longer.
More complex.
The Cedarman is a freaking sledgehammer.
And I think we get in the low 30s.
Yeah, like, it was like 32, 33.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when I started, you'd buy Pacenti for 38.
Folks, if you haven't gotten on the Turley mailing list, what are you waiting for?
Oh, yeah. It's worth it.
You're going to get a substantial offering your first go around.
You're going to get to be able to buy the ones. I mean, you're going to be able to buy Old Vine. You're going to be able to buy Juvenile. Even if you buy those two wines, you're buying two smoking great Zins. Juvenile's low 20s.
For low 20s.
Yeah, I mean, buy a case of Juvenile.
Yeah. Yeah. You're paying fair price for shipping. It's not the cheapest shipping, but it's...
It's not like Schaefer.
It's a reasonable price.
Yeah, it's not like $50 a bottle.
They give you... They tell you what the pricing is up front. It's not a secret how they do the shipping. And
I put in an order.
You maximize your shipping by ordering in threes.
I one time... put in an order and I did not maximize my shipping, they called me and said, hey, you know, you're not maximizing.
That's Turley.
How can we fix this?
That's Turley.
Do you want me to take off a bottle or add? And I went, I want you to add. Oh, hey, what do you want us to add? Yeah, you surprised me. No, I didn't tell them surprised me. And they just, done. No problem.
And that's just Turley. It's just.
Well, it's personal service. You don't get that with, you try to call Mondavi and have that. I mean, they don't do that. I mean, you know.
Try to just talk to somebody at wine.com. But no, it's... They're,
not wine.com.
It's the heart of their business is their mail order. It's they want you to buy from them.
That being said, I've gotten a lot of free...
It's like you get the premium Zins. It's $100 a bottle. Easy. $120, you know. And you're getting it for 50 cents on the dollar.
Now, write down wine.com. You can buy one bottle, Turley's Diva Ranch from Amador. So right now there's 7 bottles left, by the way, so you better get it quick. It is from Amador. I've had the Diva. It's good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Amador's not my thing.
It's not the best from Amador. Judge Bell is. Judge Bell is fucking... Judge Bell will, once again, take the paint off your house.
Is Judge Bell one of the that they're not going to offer anymore?
No, I think Judge Bell's still there. And what's the other one? Judge Bell and...
From Amador. They don't know it.
Mm.
Can't get it off the top of my head.
Judge Bell's pretty cheap. One of our earliest shows, like episode was one or Judge two. Bell. Yeah. It was. It's a great wine.
Back to Steezy Ranch.
Let's break this down, Scott. Go back and forth.
You know, that strawberry in the nose is still going strong. And it just reminds me of that hint of strawberry from like a strawberry jello. It just does. And that sounds like, ew, that's sweet smelling. Mm. No, it's just a slightly sweet smelling strawberry.
Now as you drink it, it has a heaviness on the front palate in a nice way. Because that fruit is slightly drippy, but not in the boozy sense, right? And it kind of matriculates through the mid palate, and so you get that drips and ooze of that wonderful little gobs of red currant and strawberry and raspberry, red fruits, and a little bit of plum that just kind of come through. And then waiting for it is a lovely bit of oak,
yep,
framing it all, a little garlic, and it just kind of matriculates into a spicy finish.
Yep.
It's one of these, it's a really well done, encapsulated zin. It's kind of like, it doesn't go on this magic trip of 95 different things, mind you. But what it does all so well and so on point.
And I think there's a certain earthiness in the mid palate.
That's exactly.
Like a dry, dusty thing, like earth. It's right in the mid palate, and it's bare. It's right there in the open. And it's rather pleasant, and it just transitions so nicely into the oak.
It's just a little bit of forest floor. That Greek, that forest floor is right there.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little bit of a black forest chocolate also at the same time, but all those kind of intermingle with the oak and just give it that counterbalance of earthiness and maybe just like a slight guttural punch, reminding you of what they're trying to do, and that's emulate a Rhone. Right?
And it really
does that so well.
And maybe it's not high a content in the Grenache varietal, but it expresses it so very well. I got to believe this is 20-25% Grenache.
No,
I could be wrong.
No way.
I could be wrong. I'll tell you, it expresses very well, though.
It's probably 7.
Very
6.
Well.
They mention it first, but...
They do mention it first.
Mm-hmm. I bet it's high 80s Zin, and then just, you know, and I think like with Carignan, you might have, although Carignan can do that too. Carignan can have that.
It could be
that
the combination,
I mean,
of the Grenache and the Carignan is giving it that texture that we like.
Mm-hmm. Those two can really kind of do those things that we're tasting.
What a subtle but wonderful application of the oaking to this wine.
Oh, absolutely.
The oak's the star of this wine. It's just not overdone. It lends itself to that finish. And I think something you pointed out is just what gives it that little extra bit of complexity. Just that little bit of spice on the finish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a nice little kiss of acidity running through this wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some sneaky complexity.
It's not what I would call... It exists in a confined space. The oak is kind of a framing element that keeps it all in a certain area. However, it does quite a bit within that confined area. It wouldn't be what I'd call expansive. That doesn't necessarily mean it's not complex. It just does a lot in its space. The spice outlives the oak, but the fruit doesn't. The herbaceousness, well, not herbaceousness, but the earthiness doesn't quite, maybe a little bit, but that's okay because it does what it does in its space, right?
Yeah, it's the fruits in that front palate, that earthiness, a nice kiss of it through the mid palate, and it's even. It's evenly balanced. That earthiness is in similar proportion to the fruit on the front palate.
Yeah.
You don't see that too often.
No.
Just the mid palate's fairly long.
And on the spice is a layered spice.
Okay.
You have definite pepper. There's pepper, but there's also a little cayenne heat. There might even be a bit of lemon zest in that, too. Just giving it a
kiss of that acidity. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little bit of freshness to it. So it's vibrant. It tastes like the best, like the spice element of salsa, without the salsa, without the tomato bit, but the best you've ever had. Just the finish, that zest, because it's a lively, exciting thing. You know, spice can be just a basic bland cayenne, or it can be layered, and this is layered.
And what I like about the pepper, where it's got the two things, I'm going to give that white pepper going into cayenne. It's just really nice.
Mm.
What would you... You're going to have this and you're going to grill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're not going to make an indoor dinner.
Yeah.
You're going to put something on the grill.
Yeah.
And open up your range. You can grill anything. What are you going to grill?
Well, one thing this would be good with would be skirt steak and doing street tacos with that. Yeah. This would be great with that. All right. Beyond that... It depends. You're going to sauce something. So anything with a chimichurri sauce is going to go crazy.
I was exactly thinking the chimichurri with your street taco.
Yeah, I mean, if you put a ribeye on there and you're going to slice it on the bias and then slap some chimichurri on this, not blue cheese, chimichurri.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. If you're just going to treat everything, if you're going to treat everything as if you're in Spain, you know, if you just say, we are in Spain tonight and everything you cook has a Spanish flair. This will work.
Except for that Argentinian chimichurri sauce.
Well, okay. It's Argentinian. Well, they're from, I mean, whatever.
Oh, they're from.
Yeah. Whatever. Argentinian. That would be great, too.
Yes.
Picana?
Picana. A slow roasted on the grill a long time at a direct heat, and then you crisp it off at the finish. Chicken thighs.
You always say chicken, but that's fine.
But chicken thighs that are done on the grill where you get that smokiness.
You're fine. But brisket.
You don't want to overcook them, so you're cooking them slow, mm-hmm. and then you just crisp them up right at the end.
Ooey gooey brisket would be good.
Always.
Mm-hmm. If you did some, I've never seen anybody do this, but I think you could, smoked some short ribs. You did low and slow.
Interesting.
Yeah. But anything that has that rich beef flavor, a little bit of smoke, ooey gooey. It's going to be great. The other night, I almost threw up in my mouth there for a second. I don't know why.
What, did you buy $18 worth of White Castles?
I did not, but that does sound delicious.
And
but,
having...
I mean, depending on what you bought, there might have only been two sandwiches, but, you know.
It was double jalapeno cheeseburgers
and
fish sandwiches.
Oh, God. Well, you could have gotten dysentery from that. You got rando. You get rando.
No, that's.
If you just got cheeseburger sliders, I mean, that's a lot of them, but.
No, I go for double jalapeno burgers.
Okay, that would fuck you up. But.
It was probably the fish because it was.
That's gross.
Overcooked.
Oh, was it?
White Kissel fish is good, usually.
White Kissel fish?
White Kissel fish.
Is that different than White Castle? Yeah.
That's the closest I can say it.
On.
I'm still under the weather.
On Sunday night, it was a chuck roast, right? It was like a 3.5 pound chuck roast.
That's a good size chuck roast.
Mine was like $26. Fuck you, Kroger. I mean, but anyway, with the Laquaset, seared it off, right? Then onion, some roughly cut garlic, so chunks of garlic. And then I deglazed the pan with a little bit of leftover red wine that I had.
Very nice. A little bit
of the Kirkland Bordeaux Superior from last week, and I didn't drink. So I deglazed it with that. And then put it back in. Did not braise it. So just the bottom has a little bit of liquid with the onion, right?
And you didn't chunk the meat. You kept the roast whole.
Kept the roast whole. So 2 hours and 20 minutes at 300 in the Laquaset. Comes out. Oh, my fucking God. Cross between brisket and roast beef is what this was. And so it was Becky and my eldest were gone. So it was myself and the three youngest. And Luke ate everything. I did rice and I did some, and William loves mashed potatoes. So I did mashed potatoes. But they loved it. They loved the beef, right? And I made a little spicy sauce with the drippings and all that. Because when you come out, it's all the actual juice of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did a little drippings with a little bit of half and half in there. Not half and half. Creme fraiche. A little bit.
Oh.
And but it was very spicy. Because remember that rub you bought me?
Mm-hmm.
I rubbed it. I put that as a rub.
How did that turn out?
It's nice. It was earthy, but also spicy.
Right.
You could smell the seaweed on that, but you couldn't taste it. It's nice. It was really nice because it really just kicked it up that notch. So when Becky and Henry got home, I made an additional thing of rice, right? And with rice, even minute rice, I don't just cook it in water. I cook it in beef stock.
And other little cheat that I like to do is citrus.
Yeah, you can do
you
that.
You know, it's just...
Put a bay leaf in there. Do something.
It's what Chipotle does. They just white squeeze rice. Lime juice in there.
White rice. No, do something. Put beef stock in there, veggie stock, chicken stock. Make something out of that.
It's just crying for you to add flavor.
Well, yeah. Well, anyway, I use that as a base. But I made like... If you've seen the Royal Rice Blend...
I don't know about that.
It's like long grain and everything, like okay. Jasmine and everything. That's what I made for dinner, but I had some left over because mm-hmm. I didn't eat all. I threw that. See, when they were gone, I did chunk it. I threw it back in the Laquaset with all the sauce and the remaining rice.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in there at 250 and just let it just whatever.
Just let it sit.
And so then when they got home, new rice, then the chunked meat with that ooey gooey rice sauce. And then with Becky, I have like a little spicy chipotle aioli. On top of that.
Oh, nice.
They, yeah. Chef's kiss. It worked out well. There were no leftovers.
I'll bet.
None. 3.5 pounds of meat gone.
Of course, it cooks down to a pound and a half. But Chuck's fairly lean.
It was still about the same size.
Chuck's fairly lean.
Oh, no, this was nice and ooey good. It was good.
But that just, you brown it and then deglaze the pan.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, leave the roast a whole, but I'm doing that 3 beef stew or having a roast, a steak.
This roast would have, yeah, that would have
some
made
arbitrary
up.
Third meat.
But I would have rather done it my way than made the roast.
Well, you twice cooked it anyway. You know, you browned it and then kept it whole. Then you chunked it afterwards.
Yeah.
For the stragglers.
It didn't take much work to chunk it, let's just say that.
It's such a nice technique. Mm-hmm. But I'll go as low when I'm doing that twice cooked thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go 175, man.
Oh yeah.
I'll wazz the oven up to like 5. And then when I put the Laquaset in, I'll turn it down to 250, half hour, turn it down to 225, and then just let it go for 175. And you mm-hmm. can literally, you can cook it 8 hours at 175, and it's not going to do anything but break down the fat even more.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to talk about chili fixings. You pull the beef fat off that and just keep that as a base for chili. It's freaking fantastic, dude.
This wine would have been great with that. But
it's one, actually, a spicy chili. This mm-hmm. would be great with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. So on tonight's potpourri, Scott.
Sir.
I'm going to transport you to a place.
Oh, my.
I want you to tell me.
Beam me up, Captain.
In this place. In this. It'll be a restaurant in this place. What are you going to eat? And it has to be contained on the items that would be on the menu, theoretically. Okay. And what would you drink? And it has to be something that this place in this area would most likely serve. You just can't pick whatever you want.
I'll light the fire.
And I'll do it too. So the first one I'm going to say. You're in Paris, Scott.
Oh,
oui,
Lord.
Paris. Da-dun-dun, da-dun-dun. I don't know if that's whatever. That's actually Italian. That's all right.
I don't know what that is.
You were in a Parisian cafe. One of those back alley ones. Where it's a little bit dingy. It's a little bit dirty. But they have a wine cellar in the catacombs, right? You know, you're going to sit down there, and this is where all the locals come, right? They have traditional French dishes on there, but they say, Mademoiselle Scott, because I don't know what.
Lord.
We will make you anything we have that is French. What would you like, Mademoiselle? And so Mademoiselle will tell them, I don't know what Mister is in French, so I had to call you that. What will you do? What will you drink? Has to be what they would have. They're not going to have Bonanza. They're not going to have Bonanza in the Parisian cafe that he's talking about.
I don't know if it's appropriate. One thing I don't know about French cuisine. What do you have for an appetizer?
Well, escargot.
That's not my thing, though. Would have that.
Princess would.
Princess loves escargot.
Well, I mean, I've had it. You can have a beef tartare. French.
I've had it.
Beef tartare is French.
I was thinking some type of like a savory crepe.
Okay.
With a white Bordeaux. With a white Bordeaux. Then.
Semillon?
If I'm in Paris and I'm in this cafe you talk about.
Lunchtime, that would be lovely.
I would have to have a bottle of Châteauneuf.
Châteauneuf, okay.
I'm in Paris, right? I'm going to have Châteauneuf.
You're in a little nook in that restaurant.
What am I going to have with a Châteauneuf?
There's candlelight. It's romantic, but you're there by yourself. I'm in the restaurant, too, but it's not romantic.
Beef bourguignon.
Oh, that's a really good choice.
Beef bourguignon.
Something, the rustic. You want the rustic. You want something that they're going to have hard French bread, and you might rip off a piece, and they're just, beef bourguignon. That's a classic.
Right.
I mean, that is the classic.
I don't know French cuisine as much.
We know. We don't have many good. We have refectory, which is French cuisine to a certain extent. But we don't have, like, I was in Vermont in that one place. That's really good. Way to go, Rob.
That one place.
You
went to a French restaurant in Vermont.
And it was an emulation of the dingy French bistro. But you know, you have steak frites, that kind of shit. But that's whatever. You could get that at Paris. You know, you get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, a proper rendition of beef bourguignon, a stew, simple food. I'm brought by this because I've been rewatching No Reservations.
I love that show.
And, you know, it's just great. That's a show that you just sit there and just go,
I still have not. I don't think I've watched a complete episode since he hurt himself.
You have to forget about that. But
I haven't been able to watch it yet.
He had one where he
was. I love his show.
He was in Paris. And so he is doing exactly what we're talking about right now.
That's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did everywhere he went.
It was just this gorgeous experience. For me, yes. What Scott's saying, he already said beef particle. We're thinking rustic dishes, right? And so I'm going to stick with that. But you know what? I'm going to try escargot. I've never had escargot, quite frankly. I'm going to try with the locals. I'm going to say, hey, what are you doing? I might do a house wine. What do you recommend? But the Châteauneuf, that's a little high lie. I might even do a Beaujolais.
Right on.
If it's at lunch, maybe I'll do that.
Some kind of casserole with puff pastry.
Oh, but you know, a souffle. You never had my souffle, have you?
Didn't.
I haven't done souffles in a while. I do a mean souffle. I need to get back to that. Winter, I'm going to get back to souffle making. It's this whole thing of it makes you fat that, you know, Becky doesn't want to. It's like, souffles are bad for you. Yes, they are. They are. But you get a poofy egg white. I mean, it's just. How many winters ago was that? The show probably knows. When I was doing souffles all the fucking time.
It was a while back.
Yeah.
That was a long time
ago. I need to remember how to do them. But
let's put it this way. You probably had half as many children as you have now.
I'm sure I just don't have time for a souffle anymore.
Well, it's just it was a long time ago when you were doing that.
I think the kids would like a souffle. I'll do that.
Yeah, you got to watch what you wish for, buddy.
Henry would love a souffle. Henry loves earthy, beefy dishes.
Okay.
He loves it. If it involves rice and something else, he's on board. It doesn't matter what you put in there. Not so much chicken. He loves beef. He loves like sausage of any fucking shape or type in that kind of, like almost like a jambalaya kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
He just, that's his thing. William, he loves mashed potatoes.
Well,
I mean, he just does. He loves a good,
some dietary restrictions.
He loves a good cheeseburger. He loves Rusty Bucket's cheeseburger with a gluten-free bun.
Okay.
Luke is a turd, and he loves salad. Luke loves a salad. Loves a salad.
Hmm.
His favorite thing is a salad with garlic expressions dressing. That's a local thing that we have.
Oh, Lord.
He just loves it. I don't know. And he loves chicken. And I've gotten him, and he loves beef. He does love beef.
He loved your chuck roast.
He loves a foot-long hot dog, too. He'll power those down. And Maggie will eat virtually everything except tomatoes, but she did try one the other night and spit it out and said, that's gross.
This is going to sound like fatty, fatty 2x4, but there you go. But Princess and I both, we loved. At the old stadium.
Yeah.
Downstairs.
Oh.
Opposite the tent.
I know what you're
talking about. 3/4-pound foot-long hot dogs. Off the grill. They're off a freaking flat-top grill.
Well, they used to.
Freaking fantastic.
I remember that cheesesteak we had that one time.
From the shop that was downtown. It was short-lived. That was fantastic.
Chuck, that was good.
Yes, it was. They made cheesesteak out of brisket.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's freaking insane.
The current one, there's Dirty Franks. But they're ridiculously expensive. But
since we have a local restaurateur here, or she was.
Yeah, she left.
Named Liz Lesnern. It's not been the same since she left. That's
well, the
that's
hot dog's
take.
Still good. We're good.
But they do a hot dog that they put beef brisket on it, and it's
well, they make hot dogs. You've been to the
it's
places where, like gourmet hot dogs where you can, you know, pickles and all sorts of shit. I mean, it's just everything under the sun in a hot dog. Every town has a place that does this. I mean, Chicago has what's the main place?
Well, they do
everybody
their things, you know, Sport Peppers,
yeah,
Kraut, whatever. This
potato
is,
chips, chili, cheese.
She was doing this 25 years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
she was. Kind of next level.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
really reasonably priced. Great cocktails.
No, but Chicago, what is the hot dog place in Chicago? It's basically the same thing. Only probably better. I mean, they would say that.
I don't know that does all the specialty toppings.
No, they do. They do.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay.
I mean, when I think of Chicago dog, I like the Red Hots, and I want Sport Peppers
and
Kraut.
You're not really a Chicago
and brown
person,
mustard.
Though.
Yeah.
You're more New York.
I do love New York, but Chicago, I love a good Chicago hot dog. Vienna Beef is the brand. You see the signs everywhere. Dude, I'm a Chicago beef guy.
You know, Scott, I'm Austrian by birth, son. I've got some Vienna beef for you. That's right.
Sure.
I'm not, but, you know,
no,
it could
I'm,
be.
I want Sport Peppers, sweet relish, dipped. Chicago beef.
That's
Italian
nice.
Beef. It's ridiculously sloppy, messy.
Yes. But delicious.
But Chicago style Italian beef.
You could get Henry on that. He would annihilate that.
How does he do a sloppy though?
He would eat it.
Because it's
if it was good,
it's
he would flip out. He doesn't care about sloppy.
It's sloppy.
No, it was well, you know, on the way home from the game. We stopped to buy Flyers pizza because I hadn't eaten. I got a brat and it was raw, so I didn't eat that.
Flyers pizza
in Pickerington. Yeah.
What?
They like the gluten free.
Okay. All right.
It's okay. Not great. It's okay.
I always forget about the cauliflower crust and the gluten free, but Mott Pizza does a good job with that.
Mott Pizza does a great job. Although, if you look. Calorie wise, their regular crust is less calories than their gluten free.
There's
their,
that.
So I mean,
the cauliflower crust, right?
Yeah, which has a ton of flour mixed in there. But, you know. No, it's gluten free, but
yeah, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good.
Mm-hmm. It is. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So Scott reminded me that I only did one place, and that's unfortunate because we were just, you know, we were just engrossed in conversation. But Scott, very briefly,
okay,
we are in. And I've been here, so well, no, we'll go someplace. I've been Barcelona. Oh, I've not been. I've been to Madrid, but not to Barcelona. In a cafe, once again. I know what they already serve, so.
Well, so, again, we're going to start off with appetizer. I have to go with jamón.
That's what you're going to get. Just put that out. Yeah, it's going to be jamón on something. Would you like some jamons right there? Oh, that's... Would you like some cheese? Manchego cheese?
You know, just... I would go with just a local red blend. Just an equivalent of the French table wine, whatever they serve
would be
in a Spanish restaurant.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're not going to be. You could go Altamacoyo is down through there, but I don't think Can Blau's that far. Montsant it wouldn't be. You know what would be nice in Barcelona? There's more seafood down there because it's on the Mediterranean. I would love some grilled octopus, and I would love an abarino with that. Seaside Cafe. Grilled octopus, abarino, I am there right now. Last time I had seafood and abarino, but it was in California, on the Pacific Ocean. But you know, whatever. I had Pinot Blanc at a restaurant in California, in Napa, for Christ's sake, from Alsace. But I was having it with rabbit confit, so whatever. You do what you got to do. I still was enjoying my life drinking Spanish Albarino looking at the ocean.
And this is a dish, even at our local Spanish restaurant, I've never had one better than mine.
What? Chimichurri is not Spanish. You're thinking.
You know what I'm going with. Spanish rice dish.
Paella?
Paella.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going with the fisherman's stew paella.
Yeah, I've never been. Paella is one of these dishes that you, in some of the restaurants, you put in the paella what you didn't sell the night before. And when I was in Spain, the paella was, they had prawns one night, and the next night they had paella with prawns. It's like, where'd the prawns come from, dickhead? Yeah. And this was actually in the Canary Islands, which is an island off Spain and Africa, but it's you know ruled by Spain. And this was a terrible place that was like Elvis themed. I've probably talked about it before.
I don't think so.
It had like a 50s kind of motif.
No, I don't. I don't.
Yeah, rock.
Maybe I don't think so. I don't remember if you did.
And I was like,
not saying much.
I'm American, and we don't like this. And it's like this is American like rock and roll themed. And it's fucking dumb. And the food, man, you'd think it's a resort, right? I've been to high school cafeterias. I'd rather eat the Salisbury steak at my old high school 7 days a week than anything from them. You can ask Becky. It was like, it was all inclusive, but it almost was like being in a prison camp. Well, there are prison camps, I think.
So it's like a resort thing?
That's what they said. I think there was probably prison camps in World War II that had better food than this one.
One of those.
Yeah. They were going to kill you anyway. But this one, at least they weren't going to...
At least you got a good last meal.
Hey, man. I was like, when's death? But free drinks, too.
Eat up. I'll surely kill you in the morning.
I ate by the pool when I could because there were 65-year-old women that were naked, which I didn't want to see. And kids, little kids. They're like 8 years old running around naked. I'm like, I don't want to see either one of these things. Why? But in the
that's
pool.
That's a nude beach. That's go to the Dominican
it was
Republic.
The fucking.
It's a topless beach, too. Whatever. It's all. They're not
Scott,
pretty people.
It was a pool, and it was surrounded by parking lots in the middle of the island. It was not the beach.
So.
They had a pool
when
house.
You booked your trip.
I didn't.
Did it talk about. We're looking for special people who are looking for special times. Did you sign up for a swingers resort?
Becky got it. And she thought she had paid, and we got there, and we hadn't paid.
Or had she paid?
I don't know.
That sounds like you're still paying for it.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, she set all this up.
I know resorts.
Yeah. And so, but they had a pool house right there, and they had food all day long. In there is what I lived off of. They had chicken nuggets, which were like...
What?
Seriously.
That is so American.
And they were school chicken nuggets, man. School.
What?
So, like, you have
but it. You didn't like the Elvis place.
Dude, you wouldn't eat it. You'd pretend. I was eating bread.
You know what I don't eat? Fucking chicken nuggets.
Well, man, you would if you were going to die.
No, I would die.
Yeah, and they had Fanta.
Well.
Orange Fanta.
Orange Fanta. Orange Fanta's the worst Fanta flavor.
That's what they had, man. So I was eating chicken nuggets.
I'd rather have Fanta root beer.
So I would sit in a chair by the pool, but not get in the pool because it was ice cold because it was March, with a bunch of naked people that I didn't want to see naked running around me, reading a book, eating chicken nuggets, eating drinking Fanta. Yeah.
That's a nice honeymoon.
It was the difference. It was kind of like a cross between Myrtle Beach and...
No. Don't put that on Myrtle Beach.
And Pigeon Forge / Gatlinburg. That's what the Canary Islands are, folks. I recently had somebody say, oh, you've been to the Canaries. What's it like? It fucking sucks, man. Don't do that. Well, what's wrong with it? You got to fly to fucking Spain to get to the motherfucker, and it sucks. Why wouldn't you go to anywhere? Go to Mackinac Island. In fucking Michigan. Go to fucking Put-in Bay.
It's probably cheaper. And Mackinac Island's one of the most expensive places you can go in the United States.
Fucking Put-in Bay is what it is. That's what this fucking place
Put-in Bay's fun, dude.
Yeah, but Put-in, this isn't, though. So imagine if Put-in Bay wasn't fun and everybody was naked that you didn't want to see naked.
That's Put-in Bay.
Well, yeah, they are naked. But, I mean, you know, less mullets, more, you know, questionable Germans. You know, they were on the wrong side of World War II, kind of Germans.
Oh, Lord.
Just saying. So, Scott.
Well, so, what is your Spanish dish, sir? And I'm going to have a rich, hearty tempranillo with my...
Rich, hearty tempranillo.
Mm-hmm. And I want my paella to be full of chorizo. I don't do a one-dish paella. And I've never seen one, to be fair. They're always going to have... Chicken stock, tomato, and multiple seafood items. A fish, usually mussels or clams, mm-hmm. and a prawn or a scallop, something like that.
I already said I wanted grilled octopus.
I missed that.
With albariño. But, sorry, that's what I want.
I'm coupling my nose up. It's like,
sorry that you're
really?
Not sophisticated that you can't say white wine. Well, I'm going to say.
Grilled octopus?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I want.
Okay.
Suck a dick.
Bougie.
Yeah.
Pretentious.
We have a wine podcast, Scott. We are bougie and pretentious, in case you weren't
speak for yourself. I'm just a local talent. Idiot. Talent. Idiot. Talented idiot. Idiot.
No, you're on here because no one else said yes. So, anyway.
That's not true. Plenty of people said yes. They just haven't outlasted me.
That's true.
If I'm anything, I'm diligent.
There's Steve right there.
Yeah, he's not talented.
No. No. No, he's not. No. No one ever accused Steve of being talented.
Unless it comes to drinking.
Even then, he's not talented.
You should talk to Marge, his fatty liver.
I saw him at his house not too long ago, and he was not talented at drinking.
Wait, weren't you untalented that night?
No.
Didn't you have to take a little bye-bye nappy?
No. I had two drinks, literally.
Oh.
No, I didn't drink very much.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't in a drinking kind of mood.
You weren't a champion like me on Saturday night.
I wasn't stupid like you on Saturday night, although I've been stupid like that before.
$18 at one castle stupid before.
That's, man, that adds up.
In my own defense, I was bringing some home for Princess.
Did they make it home for Princess?
Yeah.
Well, she's going to eat that shit?
Yes.
She didn't eat that.
No, she did not.
I was going to say, she's not going to eat that.
She said, no, thank you.
In her condition, A, and when she's rational.
Well, she was having a good day.
Not that good a day. If she's going to do that, she's not going to eat that.
No. She loves double jalapeno cheeseburgers, too. She likes double jalapeno cheeseburgers. Sometimes she'll get just plain White Castles. But mostly double.
So what happened to the ones you bought for her?
Didn't get eaten.
You threw them out?
They were some that were thrown away in the morning.
Oh, bullshit. Anyway.
No, for sure.
All right.
They smelled up the kitchen.
You were probably naked, laid on the couch.
Nope.
Well, you weren't probably naked.
I took my hat off.
Mm-hmm. You weren't naked on the couch because I wasn't laying on the couch. If I was laying on the couch, you'd be like, well, I'm going to take off my clothes and lay right next to you. Oh, shit, all the White Castles. God. I've seen that, folks. I've seen Scott be semi-nude laying next to a coffee table full of uneaten food that he brought home that smelled like a vagrant, dirty asshole. No, we did not at that place. You were responsible solely for bringing home the food that smelled like a vagrant, dirty asshole.
No.
And you were nude.
Pickled vegetables.
You were semi-nude laying next to it. So we couldn't tell if it was the food or it was you that smelled like the vagrant, dirty asshole.
Who was the naked person?
Well, Hank was also, his testicles and his pee-pee were out, but that's neither here nor there. He was rolling
around.
That's
very...
I am trying to get into Playgirl Boat. I've got to make money. It's like, that ain't going to do it, bro. No. Hey, Sasquatch, you got to shave that shit. Maybe we can see it next time. I think for a big man like that.
Easy.
I'm just saying.
Too much information.
I'm just saying. Anyway, so Scott... 2020. Turley.
If I was in Vegas I was in a late night Mexican restaurant, I was going to have pickled vegetables.
After you had made love,
I would bring home was the NFL's favorite wine, fisheye.
After you had made out with a mop.
Have you seen those NFL fisheye commercials?
No, I have not.
They're really bad.
Before that, Scott had given his heart to Bucky. You never called her again. She's probably just sitting there in a mop closet.
Never called anybody.
Missing you.
Idiots.
Missing you. You know, she had a love affair with Mr. Clean, and he left her. So all she now has is Tidy Bowl.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Folks, you don't know that reference. Listen to the show. Anyway, Scott, the Stichy Ranch Zinfandel. What is your score?
I hadn't thought about the score yet. Let's walk backward. We are a show that does wine reviews, so sometimes we do.
Okay, go ahead.
Sometimes we do. Sometimes you do other things. Let's just walk back through the wine. Nice nose, gentle little strawberry fruit profile. It really doesn't even have much of a alcoholic like. Vanilla from the oak doesn't have the mentholated alcohol thing. It's just a nice soft nose. Mm-hmm. Followed by, as the descriptor, and we've talked about ad nauseum, a roan type texture.
Absolutely.
Not the fullest bodied Zin, but a nice Zin from Lodi.
It has enough, though.
I would not... If you didn't know this was Lodi, would you go there? And the answer is hell.
No.
I would think, you know, the Rhone style aside, just the texture, the smoothness, I would think like a Sonoma. It's not quite as dense as a Sonoma, but it's that level of easy to drink.
Well, any wine from anywhere can be made. It can be great if it's made by people that aren't fucking idiots that have good ground, good vines, and good techniques.
Or... you're just a savant at doing this, what Turley does.
Or you're just all marketing.
You're just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Wonderful expression of earthiness in the mid palate. The application of the oak is one of the best applications of stylistically a softer oaking by Turley. This is fantastic. This is one of their top-notch oaking performances.
Oh, yeah.
I'm at a 92.
92 of your points?
92 of my points.
From a Lodi wine. Wow.
Well, you call it like you see it.
And on to me.
But I hadn't thought about the score, and that is, it's just what it deserves. Ageability, 4 or 5 years. Could it go longer? I don't know. It would be interesting if this opened and showed more things as it ages.
Yeah. And on to me, this wine is kind of like a gateway to some of the other stuff. I just taste it again. And there are elements that remind me of the, what's the Tennessee?
Whitney.
Tennessee Whitney wine. There are elements that remind me of the Casa Nostra. There are elements that remind me of Ducey. There are elements that remind me of other some of their other wines, and I enjoy that quite a bit. I've had this multiple times, different vintages, always liked it, but I've never sat down on a wine vault and tasted it. And it always gives you a different perspective when we do it here.
Because I think sometimes it really is a different perspective on a bottle of Turley when we do this.
Well, it gives you a different perspective on any wine.
But we drink Turley. And, and I think there's, look, folks, they're making 50 different things.
Yeah.
From 50 different locations.
Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes
so it's easy
to
overlook this Lodi product.
Well, I know sometimes you're like, well, another Turley that I can't buy. You can buy it, first of all. Just
sign up for the fucking mailing list.
But beyond that, it's a good exercise for us because we gloss over stuff. We buy it. We drink it
100%
casually. And we love it. But we don't drill down like we do. I'm using a lot of corporate terms tonight.
I've never looked at Stisi Ranch the way we did tonight.
No. So when you really boil it down and you take a good hard look at the wine, you get to know it a little bit better. I never really thought of it as a Rhone clone, but it does have Rhone elements.
Yeah.
And they're serious. And quite frankly, when you're pulling that out of Lodi, you've just made Lodi worthwhile. I don't have to designate that when I become, you know, in power as a nuclear test site anymore. I don't have to do that. I can shift that down to wherever J-Lore is. So that's good.
Easy.
I'm just saying that's a Central Coast. I mean, might as well move out of there, folks. It will be glass once I'm done with it. But still, this wine really proves that you can do anything with Lodi unless your name is Bogle. So then basically you shit your pants. You're the guy that wet his pants at the concert. That's Bogle. Like,
no.
We've got Lodi. I pee my pants.
There are some nice Bogle blends. We've had some good products.
Like the Phantom.
Easy.
Yeah, the Phantom.
We like
you can't Phantom. Tell. No, we did not. We can't tell what the Phantom is because it's so fucking oaky. That's like smoke screen. It's like,
wait a bad bottle.
Is that a wine?
We had a bad bottle of it. I've had the Phantom.
I've had multiple bad bottles of it. I've had it four times.
We've had multiple bad
bottles. I've had it four times, Scott, which is on me. We had their Petite Syrah Port. Did you like that? No, you did not.
Petite Syrah
Port. And the bottle looks like a dildo. But I haven't scored this wine.
You like that fact that it looked... Never mind.
Well, I thought it was amusing, yes. And it's at least it's handy to some people. So, I will give this wine... Let me take one more taste before I think I'm going to give this wine. Boy, I'm between two scores. 92 of my points. I agree.
Copycat.
No, I was a 91, 92. Think about the 91. This wine is just a little more desirable than that. And it's a gateway to wines that we think are 94, 95 point wines. That makes sense that a 92, it just slots in there. It isn't the longest thing. You would expect for 92, you're going to have this expansive wine. But what it does in its space is quite special. And they take Lodi, right? And they turn it into something that is international. You know?
You didn't think Lodi was capable of this.
And they reframe. But we didn't think Zinfandel. You don't think Zinfandel is capable of this, folks. But it is. I mean, Ridge's Zins, I love them, but they're Zins. They're Zins. That's all they are. I think that Marietta Cellars makes wonderful wines, but their Zins are Zins. They taste like Zins. Bedrock, love their wines, but their Zins taste like Zins. Guess what? Turley's wines, yes, it's a Zin, but it might taste like Cote de Rhone.
And that's a bit of a stretch. It has Rhone textures, yeah. But... it really does have Rhone textures.
But it transcends. They are saying, hey, we can take this Zinfandel grape and make it something to take it back to its roots. Because all grapes, their rootstock, the St. George, for instance, they referenced, it comes from Europe. So they're all European-based rootstocks, right? And so this wine transports you back to where this wine's heritage comes from. And it does it so well. The Casta Nuestra did it well. Casta Nuestra did it on a grander level. It's a grander wine. But the Grenache, like Scott said, I don't love it right now, but I think eventually, it's going to be a stellar wine. It's just going to take some time.
Wait, isn't that what I said earlier in the show when you said we'll see?
I mean, later vintages. I don't mean the current vintage. Oh, I mean down the road.
Oh.
They need to get the oaking.
Yeah, that's not what I meant.
Well, they'll tweak the oaking. They'll get the framing down right to make that wine something better.
And I don't think that Grenache is all that old either.
No, it's not.
I think it was... Anyway. But let's talk about this just for a second. Think about the commitment of predominantly Italian immigrants that brought grape stock to California.
Yeah.
Freaking the battles, the journeys they took to introduce these grapes to California in the 1800s.
Yeah. It was planted in 1907, but still.
But yeah. Still. That's amazing. And
yeah. And the patience. I mean, you're talking over 100 years ago. The roots of this come from were originally planted.
Yeah.
And so here we are so many years later. Imagine what it's going to taste like 20 years from now, 30, 40, 50.
Oh my God.
It's still going to be there. And, or clippings, or enjoy these things, folks. These are luxury products, right? But enjoy them, and enjoy them for the intrinsic value of where they come from and what they're made of and the effort that has been put into them over 100 years, 150 years. For France, 250 years, 300 years.
Oh, God, longer than that.
Yeah, appreciate the fact of the lineage that's going back. What are you paying for when you buy a bottle of, you know, Pone Canet? Well, you're not buying what you're buying there. You're buying history. You're buying lineage. You know, if you buy a bottle of Opus One, what are you buying? You're buying history. You're buying lineage. I mean, it's California, but it's still history and lineage from California. That's what you're doing. You're buying something that has a name. So you know someone that's famous, right? A celebrity, right? Well, an Opus One. We'll just talk about them.
Are you Swifty?
I wouldn't buy that. But still, if you're buying it, you are buying a celebrity in the wine world. Something that has lineage, something that has history. Penfolds Lagrange, you're doing that there. Mouton, you're doing that there. You know, Petrus, you're doing that there. That's what you're doing. But this wine kind of goes down that line. And it shows you something a little bit more than where it's from. It transcends it. And that's from A, the rootstock, B, mostly the winemaking.
Yeah, the process.
And I will tell you this right now. The winemaking at Turley is I wouldn't normally say this, but the winemaking at Turley, and I know I buy a lot of Turley, whatnot, but I love a lot of different wines from a lot of different places. But the winemaking at Turley is some of the best you're going to find. And the reason for that is they go beyond trying to make a Zin taste like a Zin. They take things and make them something more. And that's wine is one of those examples. So that's why it's a 92. That's why it's a tip of the cap. Tip of the cap. They own the cap. But folks, if you're not on the mailing list, we've said this how many times? 10,000 times, 50,000 times, 20,000 times. If you want ultra premium wines but don't want to pay $150 for a bottle of wine, right? You don't want to do that, right? Then get on the mailing list and start buying Turley wines. And yes, they are expensive, but they are not expensive relative to the quality.
Oh.
And they're also not expensive relative to what other wines fucking cost. So.
But the price point you can get it at, including the shipping, is way below what you could buy at retail.
And no, it's not even close.
Life is, if you like wine, you need to trust unlicensed and the wine guy. Get on the mailing list. Just buy the Juvie and the Old Vine. Buy half a case of each when they're offered.
Now, buy a whole case of the Juvie. Spend the money.
And very little of what Turley offers is not a drink now wine.
No.
So you can't really go wrong if you're not a person that's going to set it down for aging. But even if you're just, I'm going to try to sell her something, this is a great way to go because you just can't go wrong. There's nothing you can get from Turley that's not quality, that doesn't represent something you can put down for 3 years. And that's where you start off when you're aging stuff. But the point is, if you're going to spend $500 on wine this year, why not spend $250 on Turley? You won't be disappointed.
No, you won't be. You won't be. Folks, just do it. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu, but see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.